Welcome back, y'all, to another episode of Black Law and Legalize. I am one of your hosts, Afro Becky.
Becky.
That's
so
me.
Now we know how long it takes.
What?
About an hour and a half.
To do what?
To kick in.
Stupid.
My name is Dan. I'm another one of your hosts. You can keep up with me on Twitter and IG at I am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show across all social media platforms, including YouTube at Black Law Podcast.
And I'm just Dan. And you can holla at me at I Tell Legalize on Twitter.
Twitter. You need to get an Instagram.
Why need Instagram?
Or a TikTok. Do some TikTok dances or something. I don't know.
Man, what you do on TikTok?
I just be learning shit now because your boy done introduced me to it.
And like, I do is look at the people making a fool of themselves on TikTok. Nah, why do I need a TikTok?
I got a Fabuloso bottle in my toilet tank now with a hole in it.
For real though? For real though. You really did that?
Yeah.
He did it.
Yeah. And man, it's a whole bunch of wild shit. Quarantine, man. Quarantine. Look, so this week we just freestyling, no topic at hand, but I do have an idea and I wanted to ask each of you and catch you guys off guard just a little bit. In our community, let me back up and say in my community where I grew up, right? We didn't have a lot of people to give us any guidance to teach us certain life lessons that could prove to be valuable down the line. So a lot of the shit we learned through trial and error or on our own. So I wanted to ask both of y'all, what, especially Ann, because I think Becky might not be equipped for this conversation.
Y'all could leave me out of it.
what are some things that you've learned over the years that should have probably been instilled in you or taught to you as a child or through your adolescence years? Parents, community, grandparents, family, that you kind of learned on your own.
I think we kind of had this conversation before.
I don't recall, so.
We did, but it revolved around finance.
Okay, yeah,
remember
we did
that?
Talk about financial, yes.
And that's going to be a big one, financial literacy. And, you know, we're always talking about that on this show because that's a huge thing for me. And that is actually something that I learned on my own. And it was through trial and error. And let me tell you, I effed it up big time. Like, I messed myself up before leaving college. And had to dig my way out of this hole basically because no one taught me any better. You know, I had parents who lived paycheck to paycheck. They struggled. And I mean, the struggle is what I knew. You know, nobody told me anything about saving and retirement and did not teach me anything about that. Had to teach myself. But as I said, I started off really rocky because before I even stepped a foot out of college, I had credit card debt up to my eyeballs, right? Because getting a credit card in college is extremely easy. All you have to do is sign your name on a dotted line.
Which is why it's so easy.
Correct. They will send you as many as you want. And I had 4 credit cards in college. And by the end of college, they were all maxed out. And then
was your mindset at the time, it is what it is?
Correct. Because I mean, here I am, I'm 20, 21 when I graduated from college. So it's like, actually, I think I was 22 because I graduated. Yeah. So 22 when I graduate from college. And it's like, at 22, who really knows anything about finance except people who actually come from an environment where their parents equip them for that. Like in my life, it was okay to be in debt. It was okay to have bad credit because everybody I knew was in debt and had bad credit. So it's like, why am I gonna be any different? So took the credit cards even after college. You know, you pay the bare minimum. Sometimes you don't pay at all because hell, what they gonna do?
Send you to collections and not be able to collect.
You know, it's like, yeah, what can you get? You know, you want to take me to court for some money that I don't have? Go on, do that. You know, lawyers, even then, lawyers never scared me. You know, people talk about, I'm going to sue you. Okay, I got shit. So do what you want. So
lawyer scared the fuck out of me.
Nah. So it was like, oh, well, you know, you shrug your shoulders and you keep moving. But then as you get older, you learn your credit score means something. And guess what? Try to get a job at a bank when your credit score is effed up and you are in debt. They don't trust people like that at banks because you might just think about, how can I get out of debt? Steal some of this money. So, like,
stealing secrets,
you know, and it's not just banks. I know, found
government.
Exactly. If your credit score is shit and you are heavily in debt, most companies will not hire you.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Military, if you're an active service member and you're delinquent on some loans or whatever,
they will try to help you get out of it. Like, oh, they do not want you.
They would fucking charge you with some shit.
They will not. They do not want you to be in any sort of debt because it messes with your clearances as well. Because same situation. If you're in debt, you might be inclined to have an itching ear when somebody comes and talk to you. So you won't get any sort of military clearance if, you know, you're heavily in debt and this and that and the other. But they will try to help you as much as possible with like credit counseling and stuff like that to get you to a place that you need to be as far as your credit and bills and things like that. They will not allow you to get certain types of loans. They will not, you know, there are certain things that you cannot do as a member of the military.
Isn't it illegal to charge like exorbitant interest rates to service members?
Interest rate above a certain amount for some loans, you can't charge service members.
Man.
But yeah, so definitely financial literacy. Something else that I learned on my own and it should have come from my parents was about sex. It was like, you know, in a hood,
porno.
The streets talked. No, it wasn't porno for me. It was Lucinda said and Sheila said, and this is how you do and this is what you do and where you do and make sure you have this. And so it wasn't like, you know, most families, parents have the talk.
I don't believe that.
I believe that because, you know, having shared this, what I'm telling to you guys, with other people, especially my Caucasian friends, their parents actually did have, like, you know, you see that shit on TV.
Hey, Billy, it's time to talk about the birds and the bees.
You know, you see it on TV, but it's not something that you believe happened because it didn't happen to me. The only frame of reference I had was my life, you know, in the lives of my family members and my friends in the neighborhood that I grew up in. So, you know, you see the stuff on TV and you laugh. Like, you know, you see these after school specials and we used to watch the after school specials and sit around laughing because it's like, shit, that's not how we learned about sex.
Did y'all have sex ed in school?
No.
I want to say back in my school system, at least back home, is our year was the first year they introduced.
They actually did it.
And it was like some of the most painstaking shit. And then you had to put the condoms on the bananas and like do all. I'm like,
no, we had like, I remember we had a class in PE and you had to get a permission slip. You know, your parents had to sign a permission slip for them to show this film is what I remember.
We had.
And
yeah,
that was like the end. There was no such animal as sex ed. And keep in mind that I went to Catholic school up until eighth grade. So there definitely was no sex ed there. And then I went to public school for high school. And it was like, whatever. Like I said, you learned from your older cousins or the chick around the corner who was 15, 16 and had a baby. So, you know, you learned from her. You learned. But like I said, going to college and comparing my experiences to those of my Caucasian counterparts, and it was like, damn, that shit, like, the after school specials are really true? Like, y'all do that shit? Like,
I still don't know no one that like, had those like, conversations.
For real? Somebody, somebody sat you down and actually told you some shit?
I learned all my shit from, well, one, we used to get the little porno VHS and we would have to share them because it wasn't like we had the internet and you can, it's like, yo, you got that one with Janet Jackme on there. And,
wait, like, Janet Jackme?
Yeah, that's really? 90s right there. That's 90s, huh? But yeah, we used to pass the tapes and then we used to have the little magazines we would leave under the slide at the playground.
Oh, Jesus.
So it was like, that was our magazine library. But we actually learned from each other. I never had a conversation with my mother. I got bits and pieces from boys, but I'm going to tell you something about boys, especially young.
They lie.
They lie on their dicks.
They lie.
I'm talking about, yeah, because, you know, me 13 years old. Yeah. You know, I was fucking it for like 2 hours. And then, you know, man, you lying.
But
so,
you know, one thing, girls don't lie. Girls will tell the painful truth.
That's how I actually learned my sex ed was from the neighborhood hoe. I lost my virginity to the neighborhood hoe.
So everybody was losing their virginity to the hoe girl.
What was dope about that is, and she is one that you would never tell anybody that you was with. Because you want to keep that shit on, you know, she creature feature, you know what I'm saying? And that
creature
hoe,
feature, for real?
Yeah, creature feature.
Why I gotta be that?
Man, that bra stunk. And
but you lost, but you stuck her, you stuck your dick in her though.
Hey,
what does that say about you?
I ain't know no better. at that age, I'm just like, maybe it's all supposed to smell like this. I don't know. I know I scrubbed. I'm talking about I got the shit with the pumice in it. I took a pumice stone to my
Mr. OCD man. But, you actually hooked up with some funky chick.
And
for real.
Come to find out, all my boys did too. And you know, but that it was useful. It was a useful education for later on because you learn, you just learn different things. But Becky, how about your sex ed? I taught Becky everything she knows.
Exactly.
You know what? Don't even feed into that shit. You ain't going out like that, sister.
Man, that move where you grab the ceiling fan.
Once again,
tell them about the move where you grab the ceiling fan.
You ain't going out like that, and I ain't let you go out like that. It ain't half it. Any.
We're waiting, Becky.
Shit.
Well, okay, so I went to public school all my life, so I didn't have any or as many variances like Ann did and didn't in school. I had health class was part of the curriculum, so we got it.
So y'all actually did have sex ed?
Yeah.
Interesting.
In school.
All right, Pena. All right then.
Well, not all of it started in Pennsylvania. It was in Virginia.
What grade? What was it? Around fourth, fifth grade?
Yep.
That, see, I think that's in I went to elementary school in Virginia, and that is right when they began doing that.
Mm-hmm. So you know, Louisiana probably, is a heavily Catholic state.
So they rather touch little boys and not tell y'all about sex. Got it.
All right, yeah. So let me see. What else,
Becky,
did I learn?
Oh, let Becky finish.
And as far as having the talk at home, so far, like, not so far, but the first chat was about just don't let anybody touch you any kind of way. So
explain.
Molestation talk.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. About you to know, say, because if they
you said the first talk, what
that
was
is the. You're talking about your body and not letting people touch you in your sex parts.
Okay,
so,
wait, but that was the first talk you said.
Yeah.
Y'all had talk.
Yeah.
After this.
One other.
Wait, do your parents know how I touch you?
Stupid.
Anyway. Okay, continue.
So no, wait. So that was the first talk. The second talk was
don't get pregnant.
Huh.
And what happens if you bring a baby home?
Huh.
I always disagree with that. That don't get pregnant. How the fuck you gonna tell somebody else what to or what not to do?
And you know what? Are you serious right now?
Yeah.
You know what? How? Wait, whoa, whoa, stop. So, wait, no, no, no,
for
no,
someone
no,
who
no,
wants
no,
to talk
no,
about
no, no.
women's
no, no.
rights and
Hold
women's
up.
Liberation.
No, no, stop. How old were you when you had that talk? All right. Who was taking care of her at 16, 17?
It don't matter.
Yeah, it does. Do you ain't bringing a you
at 17? She would have had the baby at 18.
If you go, if you at 16, if you don't have a job, you don't have your own. You know what?
You still can't
you
fucking tell
your,
me what to do with my body.
If you don't have your own car, if you don't have your own
my
house,
mama didn't have
if you
a
ain't
car.
Paying your own bills, I'm
my
saying,
mama didn't
no,
have
I'm
a house.
I'm saying this, if you're not a responsible adult, responsible for yourself, if I'm still responsible
my mama
for you,
wasn't responsible.
If I'm responsible for you, if I'm paying your way, I will have to also pay this child's way.
No, you
I can
won't.
Tell,
no,
I can
you
tell
won't.
You.
You will stay, not have to.
Keep your legs closed
nope.
and you better not bring
nope.
no child up in my house.
Nope. Because one, that's a choice. If you choose
nah.
to take care of
nah.
that baby, that's your
nah.
choice.
No.
That's not Becky's
no.
choice. That's not the girl's choice who brings
Absolutely.
The baby home.
See,
that's your
that's,
choice.
See, that's where your thinking is twisted.
No, it's not.
If
You,
you
have a choice not to, right?
If you are a 16-year-old child,
mm-hmm.
you are a child. I am still supporting you.
Mm-hmm.
You are a sexual being, true.
Mm-hmm.
But contraceptives are free and plentiful.
And y'all be the main one, not
free,
main ones not wanting to use them.
Lies. Free and plentiful. That is a lie.
Y'all be the main
you
in
are,
my experience.
You know
in my experience.
You are a liar.
In my,
because don't
no,
don't
no,
say don't
my
say
experience.
All.
Don't
say all because
listen
you know,
to the
you're
words
good.
That I'm saying. My experience.
Because you're changing it now. Because normally
I said it about eight times now.
Normally your shit is all y'all. Y'all be the main because you love making blanket statements.
That's okay.
But no, it's not.
In my
no.
in my experience, women are the main ones that don't give a.
That's,
this is my experience.
In my experience, that is lies.
How many women I've you been with?
I have.
How many
I
women
have been a woman
been
my whole
How many
freaking
you been
life.
With though?
Been a woman my whole life. I know been? What's going on in my head. So that is not true. Most women are all about protecting themselves.
They are. Sadly, would you like to call somebody?
I don't need to call nobody.
I need you to. I need you to.
No, well, I needed you to call people when you said all and you did
no,
and was proven wrong.
Because in this scenario, just because it doesn't apply to you, I can tell you, not only from my experiences, but from the experiences of friends and family.
I can tell you from the experience of friends and families too. I do happen to have men in my family.
That's what I'm saying. Call one.
I do
call
happen
one.
To have men in
call,
my family.
Call my boy. Call my boy.
I ain't calling that
See?
Fool.
See? Because you know what he's going to say.
I'm not calling him because he's a jackass just like you.
Call number 42.
That's another jackass.
So I'm saying, I just named two dudes
you know
right
what?
There.
No. See, I'm going to call who I want to call.
See, you going to call your fucking pastor.
Nah.
Pastor.
Nah, thank you.
But, yeah, I mean, I do disagree with that, why she dials whoever. That you can say that I don't want you to have a baby or come home pregnant, but you can't tell me I cannot because
yeah, I can tell you you cannot.
How can you stop me?
I can tell you cannot.
Then with the teenager, the quickest way to get me to do something is tell me not to do it.
No, but you see, most teenagers,
Becky,
are afraid.
Oh, hold on. So we ain't even doing this on speaker. You covert. You
oh, no,
covert.
No,
you about
no,
a
no.
code
gotta,
word.
No. I got to see if they going to answer.
Code word.
No,
Becky?
No. Huh?
Do you answer. Agree?
I can say from my experience, having that having my parents tell
can
me that.
Can you talk
it was...
for like 2 minutes?
No, what I'm saying is
right,
tell you that you can or cannot.
Okay, so we're getting this.
Hold
we're getting
that thought,
this
Becky.
From a female perspective.
That's bullshit.
Nah. Because we're talking about women.
Bullshit.
This is
you
we're
have
gonna
to
get
ask
this,
men.
No. We're gonna get this from a female perspective, and then we're gonna get this from a male perspective.
Okay.
Because you're talking about women, and what your statement was, in my experience,
and the experience of others,
and
that
the
I
experience
know.
Of people that I know. Most women are the ones who don't want to wear or want to be protected.
No, that they don't care whether you have protection or not.
Okay, so did you hear that?
Protection for as a weapon?
No, protection as far as sex.
Oh, so, no, that's not true. That's men that be, I gotta feel.
That's what?
Wait, say it again.
That's men that have that attitude of, I wanna feel.
it's not even about the feeling. It's about, I want this right now.
Once again, most women are all about protecting themselves.
Right.
It is men who inevitably. Yeah. It's men who inevitably are like, baby, I want to feel it. I can't feel nothing.
Bullshit. I've never said that a day of my life.
Maybe you've never said it.
You.
But that is what they say.
No, this is what happens. And I want everyone to hear me clearly. This is what happens is, boom, I come through. I'm not even thinking we fucking. We just chilling, right? One thing leads to another. And then it's, oh, shit, I ain't got no rubbers on me. Oh, that's okay. You don't have to go to the store. That's okay. That's okay.
How old were you?
Throughout my entire life. That shit happened last night. That's
lies and garbage. Anyway, that's my opinion. Right. That's some boneheaded shit. That's some young girl, teenage crazy shit is what that is. That's not a lot of ass women shit.
Women.
Men not going to even say, oh, I don't have a condom. Most men going to be like, and see if the woman going to say with a condom.
Not today. I don't trust nobody because women be trying to trap men and shit. They be like, yeah, come on. You don't need one. You fuck around, have a baby and a disease. Whatever. But I'm saying it's in my experience.
Right. That's been in your experience. But as I said, been a woman my whole life. And I've never, ever, ever said to anybody, oh, it's okay to do without. Because I have too much respect for me. Okay. And I love me enough.
I have a question for both of y'all. Mm-hmm. Question for both. How many women have y'all fucked?
I am a woman.
How many have y'all fucked? Let's compare notes.
I have the mind of a woman.
Let's compare notes.
I know that you have feminine ways, but you are not a woman, sir.
Compare notes. I'm saying.
Just to let you know.
You have to experience it.
That's for another day. We're gonna have this talk about people and experimentation.
We're going to have to talk about that goddamn police officer and that sex offender, too.
We had that talk. All right. Thank you very much. All right.
Bye.
All right. So now it's the male perspective.
Damn right. Okay. Right. Becky, and you were saying, I'm sorry, but about telling someone that they cannot get pregnant.
I can only speak for myself in that from that experience. And my mind was not thinking that my parent should not be telling me not to get pregnant. My thought was, this is my parent telling me something, you know, and.
Right. I'm being a dutiful daughter or I'm being a dutiful child. My parents give me instruction. That's just like they tell you, brush your teeth. That's just like they tell you, go take a bath. So because your parents tell you don't go take a bath, you'll be funky for all your life, right? But see, that's your head because you're a rebellious son of a bitch. That is basically how you've been all your life. No. Somebody tell me not to do something, I'm beelining to do it.
That is, in a sense, that is correct.
Right.
But I just disagree. If I were to have that talk, it would not be, you better not get pregnant, bring no goddamn babies in my house. Nah, it's like there are consequences to what you do. And right. if you come home pregnant, that's on you.
All right. So basically what you're telling me is you have a daughter and you have to talk with your daughter and you say, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your body.
Correct.
But your actions have consequences. Correct. And then your daughter comes home and she says, daddy, I'm pregnant.
Okay.
Your next thought is, okay, you go have the baby and now you got to get out of my house.
Not necessarily, but
right, you are going to support your child.
Wait, daughter, you're gonna support this child. I'm not watching the fucking kid.
No, see, that's a difference between I'm not going to babysit and
what? I'm
not gonna put you out of my house.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? You will buy food, you will buy milk, you will buy Pampers because you are. You are paying for the home that they stay in.
That
so you're
is correct.
Taking care of the child.
No.
You are buying food in the home.
No.
So you're taking care
See,
of the
again,
child.
You're speaking for yourself.
No.
You can't speak for me.
No, I'm asking. I asked the question.
And
would
I answered,
you put your daughter out?
No. But again.
So you wouldn't buy food for the house. You stop paying bills in the house.
First of all, Babies don't eat fucking filet mignon and salmon and shit. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. That's the shit I'm buying. I'm buying grown-up food.
Great. Your daughter go eat that grown-up food.
Right. That's fine. Right? That's fine. Because she would have ate it either way.
Guess what else? Your daughter is also laying in a bed that you're paying for. She's also sucking up air. She's using water that you paid for.
That all would have happened regardless.
Right. But in the process, that grandchild is there too. You are in effect taking care of that child.
If I'm putting a roof over the child's head, that's fine. However, we are talking about consequences. We're talking about decisions and consequences. Mm-hmm. That is something, honestly, like going back to the top of the show, talking about things that should have been taught that weren't. My entire life, I spent learning about decisions, actions, and consequences. Uh-huh. That was not taught to me. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's going to be a learning experience. For this child.
For you too. Because trust me.
Oh, absolutely.
We all say what we will and will not do until
the child starve and die? No.
We are faced with this decision. And I don't know of many parents. I know lots of people who actually had teenage pregnancies. Mm-hmm. And you know what I saw?
I'm a result of a teenage pregnancy.
Correct. And I know what I saw? I saw grandparents stepping up to take care of child and grandchild.
Not in my case, and I can say this wholeheartedly.
I know your grandparents did not step
up. They hardlined it. Right. They was like, nope. And guess what? Like I said,
that was a multi-level situation right there.
Not really. It was, you got to get a job. You got to raise your child. Da, 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 da. There are rules. Mama didn't like the rules. What happens?
Eventually, she had to get a job. She had to raise her
eventually,
child.
But you don't like the rules. You don't like the rules under this roof? What happened?
She had to raise her child.
Didn't have any grandparents helping support me, at least, right? And I told her before, been in a goddamn homeless shelter because nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. So
couldn't sleep on anybody's
again.
Girl.
So you can't. You like to say I like to paint with a broad brush.
You do, you always.
But you can't paint with a broad brush when it comes to that.
I'm not painting with a
broad brush. I just gave you a perfect example, my life story.
Not painting with a broad brush.
Saying
what I said, what I will just and like won't you do. Like what you said, your experience. Mm-hmm. This has been my experience. And what I said, what you won't do, because as badass as you pretend to be, you have a very soft heart. You feel for people.
I do. Absolutely.
So your own child.
I don't feel for you. I don't feel for you.
I don't need you to feel for me because I'm a karate woman. I bleed on the inside.
Man.
Anyway.
Oh, Becky's awake now.
I've been awake, but like bleed on the inside? Really?
That's correct.
Wait, you just saw the movie. She don't even know where that came
from. I know it's from Mortal Kombat.
Wait, her parents were right. Her parents were right. Jesus. That girl said Mortal Kombat.
Make it go away.
I'm embarrassed.
Make it go away.
Mortal Kombat, huh?
Oh my god!
Shit. I'm embarrassed. I think we need to just end the show now. This girl said Mortal Kombat. If that's not the most meesh thing I've ever heard in my fucking life. Jesus Christ. Okay.
Hold on. All right.
Man, that done fucked up the whole flow. I don't even remember what the hell I was debating. First the girl bust out laughing out of nowhere. Like, she, I don't know where that came from. You just watched the movie. Oh, that's from Mortal Kombat. Okay. Jesus Christ. Okay. Okay. You're going to be all right. We're going to pray for you.
All right.
Something about the babies in the houses.
Okay.
So anyway, but that is honestly going back. That is something that I learned the hard way, is that your actions have consequences. And unfortunately, it took me a long time to realize that every action has a consequence, mm-hmm. which is why I ended up in trouble with the law, in trouble with all kinds of shit. But another thing that I never was taught was, so you talk about financial literacy. I'm talking about the professional world, right? My first few job interviews, they always say you have to look nice, you know. Looking nice for a nigga that's from the ghetto and
it's different.
Yeah, so I put on, you know, my cleanest Jordans, some jeans, my fresh t-shirt, mm-hmm. and to me, I look nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wasn't getting any damn jobs. And no one ever told me
that it was because you look like you freshly walked out the penitentiary.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time I just talked about this the other day, public storage. I always wanted to get a job at public storage as a night manager because they had an apartment and you get free living quarters.
Right.
I remember showing up to the job interview in a button-up Versace shirt that wasn't buttoned up. And I had my white tee underneath, jeans, and I think some foam posits on.
That boy said a buttoned-up Versace shirt.
We used to wear them open. And to me, I was fresh. I had a button-up shirt with a collar. Mm-hmm. And, man, so
then, you looking like a teenage gigolo.
This probably 18 years old, maybe. So finally, my cousin pulled me to the side one day because he saw me getting ready for a job interview. He's like, yo, fuck are you wearing? I'm like, shit, my good clothes. He's like, nah, those ain't good clothes. I got a suit. I ain't wearing no fucking suit. What I look like showing up to, and this was for like Radio Shack or something. I ain't showing up in no fucking suit. What I look like, a bitch? I ain't walking around in a suit. What, you gonna give me a briefcase too? He was like, it'll probably help.
Mm-hmm.
So he talked me into wearing the suit. And this was actually a second interview, I think it was. No, it wasn't. They saw me when I gave them the job application. They called me. So this was the second time they saw me. I had this fucking dark green suit on, looking like a goddamn stale leprechaun or some shit.
Wait, and, dark green.
Button-up shirt, tie, shoes. So he was like, when I walked in, he was like, damn, man, you look spiffy. You clean up nice. Interview, got offered the job. So came back and I told my cousin, I'm like, damn, so this what they mean? He's like, yeah, you always want to have at minimum, a button-up shirt, a tie, and some slacks,
right?
And some shoes.
And you're right.
It took me into about my 20s to learn that.
And that is something that just general interview etiquette, actually.
That too.
Because when you think about it, and I'm thinking, like, everybody in my life, nobody really had a desk job. Everybody that I know that had jobs, it was always laborers. So, you know, my aunties and uncles, they were either working at the hotel in maintenance or in housekeeping, or they were working at a plant or, you know, fast food, grocery stores. So you never really had a situation
where you saw somebody in business attire,
right? And you know, like, here, you say you are saying that, and I'm like flicking through my head trying to think of anybody that actually, I think honestly, the very first person that I ever saw that wasn't a plant worker working in the fields.
That sounds like some slave shit, right? There. Like,
well, you know, where I grew up, where my parents are from, it's sugarcane country. So
they was literally working
in the sugarcane fields. Seriously. In modern day. I think the very first person that I actually saw in a job other than that was one of my aunties on my mother's side. She used to work Well, when she was alive, she worked for Bell South. And she is the very first person. She's actually the person that I emulate. She is like my guiding star. The one person in my life who actually was like, take charge, did her own thing, didn't want to be married, didn't have kids, bought her own house, bought her own car, you know, just did all that. And I looked at her and was like, she was the first one I ever saw do that in my life. So it was like, okay, whatever you do, I'm a do too. And even then, she never actually took any of us on the side and said, this is what you do at a job interview and this is how you dress and this is whatever. We just looked at it and went,
I want
sharp.
That. Yeah. Yeah. See, so, and same on my side of things, my grandfather, he was the one I looked up to the most. He was a building engineer for the school system. So he was always in, think like a Dickies type of suit. My father, who I rarely saw, was an auto mechanic. Uncles were school maintenance for the school board, painters and same shit. My aunties, they just had odd jobs here and there, but nothing. So again, business casual to me, and especially at that age, like 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, I'm looking at people in slacks and shirts and button-ups like, I'm ready to line you up. You got some money, you know, or, man, that's some bitch shit, man. I would never do that. I ain't never going to conform, and I'm a nonconformist. And that brings me to the next thing that I wish somebody would have taught me. Now, whether I would have received it or not, different story, is it's okay to be different. That, in the hood, especially, in the hood growing up, I don't know if it's still like this now, but it really, amongst your peers, it was not okay to be different.
No, wait, is this, when you say different, does different equal smart?
Because different equals smart, like I did dumb myself down.
I was about to say, because that was what it was for me. Like, but I don't know the difference, I think, between you and I is I didn't care that they called me nerd. I wore nerd like a badge of honor. You know, when they said, you a nerd. And the crazy thing is, even my family members called me that. It was like, and you know, it was something to be laughed about because, you know, yeah, you a nerd and you get straight A's and you, you know, an honor student and you in them smart girls classes and you this and they laughed. Like I said, this wasn't even my peers. This was
family. Yeah.
Family. And they laughed. And for me, it was like, okay, so what?
I did the opposite. My grandparents, they would tell me how smart I was. Oh, you're so smart. You can do anything. This, that. Stop calling me that. And then something you had just mentioned about acting like a tough guy. Yeah. 80% of that shit is a fucking act because, again, environment, I couldn't be different because if I was different, I was not a part of the larger collective. And if you're not part of the larger collective,
you'll get your ass kicked.
You're unsafe. But looking back now, it's okay. You win some, you lose some. It's okay. You ain't gonna get killed for, you know what I'm saying? But
but you might.
Well, you see, might.
That,
yeah.
That's the thing. You know, I know how I was in your, because you talked about things in the neighborhood. In the neighborhood that I grew up in New Orleans, too, like, you couldn't be too smart.
Shit, New Orleans is a different kind of hood, too.
You know, you couldn't be too smart because people laughed at you. And then if you got smart, you might get it and you ain't know where it was coming from. Yeah. So, but for me, like I said, honestly, I've never had the fear where somebody go kick my ass. So what? You know, I've always had that attitude. It's like, you're not going to make me afraid. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think you
will
do.
I carried myself like that. And what's funny is my entire life, even now, I make what I call the smart play, the safe play, right? So the safe play was to blend in. And like I said, I did present as a tough guy. I don't give a fuck what y'all trying to do. That did a whole bunch of criminal activity that I didn't necessarily even want to do, but I had to show. Right? And was
that you was about that life.
Yeah. And that's what it, and again, 80% of it's an act, but the longer you stay in that role, the lines get blurred. And once those lines get blurred, at some point, that is who you are, even though right. that's not who you are. I mean, if that makes sense.
Right. It's who you are because by then it becomes habit. It's like, mm-hmm. I have carried myself this way for so long. I will continue to carry myself this way, even though it's no longer necessary.
Correct.
To do it.
And you look at people who get out of prison that have been institutionalized.
Do the same
thing. That shit is hard. Becky, right. Come mm-hmm. on, join in, Becky.
Girl, sleep.
I am not asleep. Girl. I was actually thinking how my experience with being called smart was for me when I grew up, when I was growing up. And I would say that as far as being different and somebody telling me it's okay to be different, nobody told me that.
Mm-hmm.
But me growing up in a predominantly white environment, I obviously knew I was different, but nobody, you know, personally told me it's okay, you know, to be different, and you shouldn't be.
Or it's okay to be smart.
Yeah.
It's okay to raise your hand, and it's okay to, and you know what, like for me, in spite of the fact, like I said, they called me that, friends and family, and I laughed about it, and I'm still laughing today, because in the end, the same person that you called a nerd was always the one when you had a project.
I need some help.
Not I need some help. Could you do it? Because I don't even know where to start. I got this paper. Could you write it? So, you know, when I was doing high school shit when I was in middle school.
Same.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, because I didn't read this book, but I know you read this book.
See, and the thing, because I did that too for select people. I wrote book reports. I would read, and it's kind of a joke, but it's true. I would read the first page, the last page, and then maybe skim a couple of pages in the middle, and boom, hey. I'm like, man. But again, like Becky said, like you said, no one told me it's okay to be different. So I even take that style-wise. Like DC back in the 90s had a certain look about them.
Mm-hmm.
Like you need like New York in their Timbs, right? New York in their Timbs. It's like DC was, you know, certain attire that I didn't particularly care for, but it's like you almost had,
it was an armor.
You mm-hmm. had to wear it. You had to look the part. You had to. And I think the lack of a strong male figure in my life, especially at that junction, we're talking about 13 years old ish without any guidance or direction, is kind of like monkey see, monkey do. Just like, okay, so-and-so gets locked up. So-and-so gets locked up. So-and-so gets locked up. They come home. They get all the love in the world when they come home. Like, oh shit, so-and-so back.
It's a party.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. we took that as almost a given, like it's going to happen eventually. So when it does happen, it doesn't surprise you.
It was a badge of honor, though. It was like a rite of passage, going to juvie or going to jail or whatever.
So to speak, yeah. But mm-hmm. for me, unlike the rest of them niggas, after I did my little shit, I said never again. Fuck that. I don't need, at this point now, 3.5 years is, and I keep saying it every time I talk about it. I spent 3.5 years. After that shit, like some of these niggas was only doing like 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, a year. After 3.5 years, I did not need anyone to tell me it's okay to be different. Fuck y'all niggas. I am not going back there ever again. And it's funny because you see it on the movies. They say, we'll see you again.
Nah.
We'll see you again. Shh, no, the fuck you won't. And one of my OGs that I looked up to, same thing. He got locked up in the juvenile. He did probably about a year, came back home, and this was like one of the wildest. Now, his I don't give a fuck shit was not an act. His shit was, he is a little loco, but same thing. He said, after having my freedom taken away like that, I said, I ain't never going back. Never been back since. But again, we didn't have anybody
to tell us different.
That you don't have to do this shit. Shit, you don't even have to be outside in the streets. Stay in the house, nigga.
No, but you see, to piggyback off that, you think about it, in our neighborhoods, in our societies, you know, in our particular hood, you have to emulate the majority, because you said it earlier, that's the way you stay safe. Mm-hmm. Because you being inside the house, even talking about staying in the house, you being inside the house is something totally different. And that's going to make you a target.
You a house cat. Yeah.
You know, so you got to be outside on the streets talking to the dudes, doing whatever they do in order to have somebody have your back when you do go this place and that place. And that's just something that's like baked into our hoods, so to speak. Like, you have to have, the hood becomes your family.
Exactly.
So you have, because you have to have backup to make it out.
And another thing too, that I think Tupac said this, and when I heard it for the first time, like, man, I don't think I've ever heard something resonate so much, right? Is the people that are living in the ghettos, in the hoods, whatever you want to call them, we're just as scared of the fucking drug dealers, of the murderers, of the criminals. We're just as scared of them as the people that live in the suburbs are. But we have to live among them. So we're scared to pick up the phone and call the police. It's a lose-lose situation. It's correct. Like, I'm scared of these motherfuckers.
I want to get them gone, but I have to live with them.
Right. So it's like a lose-lose. Mm. So, man, I just, sometimes, especially when I was younger, I would look at some of my cousins that grew up in the suburbs and be just envious. Like, the shit that I'm kicking, they're looking at me like, huh? We just go to school and horseback riding practice.
We come home and we have this extracurricular activity.
You ain't never been jumped before? Y'all ain't never jumped nobody? Crackheads? No. So I used to be, I had this resentment almost towards my mother.
Because why am I living like this?
Right. Mm-hmm. Why am I living like this? Mm-hmm. And the one thing, if you ever make it out of the hood, because let's be honest, a lot of us don't.
Do not.
It's That's a generational, right. It's generational correct. Poverty. But those who do, that shit builds fucking character. The character.
It all depends.
The character can be beneficial or it may not be beneficial. You could be breaking up in your fiance's office with a crowbar and beating her ass at the job. And be like, that's my character. Or, you know,
it can be like you, determined that I'm never going back. I'm doing something better. And I'm going to teach somebody else to do, you know, because I had this experience and I survived. I'm going to make sure that you don't go down the path that I, and you know, I have to respect there are a lot of people in our neighborhoods today who are actually trying to do that, to tell people, look, I did this. I went through it. I see, you know, like everything that you're doing right now, been there, done that. I'm telling you right now, stop, because this is where this is going. It goes back to what you said about consequences for your actions.
Yeah.
There are people now that are actively trying to tell the kids today who are in these situations, you don't have to stay here.
See, but that shit don't work. And the reason I'm going
to
say that.
It does work for some people. It works for people who want it to work. Let me say that.
If you want to receive the message, yeah, I guess like anything else. But I remember, shout out to one of my cousins, I ain't gonna say no names, pulled me to the side. I was probably in my mid-20s at this point. He's like, look, my son, your little cousin, is going down the wrong road. Can you pull him aside, talk to him, let him know about your experiences, about being in the detention. So I was like, yeah, I could talk to him. So we jump in the car, me and little cuz go on a ride. He was probably about 16 at the time. So I was like, look, what type of shit you doing out here? And, you know, he's talking like, yeah, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, you know, trying to get money and da 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 da. I was like, you ain't scared of getting locked up? Nah, I ain't scared of getting locked up. You was locked up, right? My uncle locked up, right? And my other uncle locked up, right? Like, yeah. I said, so you ain't worried about it? He was like, was you worried about it? And
not until it happened.
In a moment of honesty, I said, nah, because it was like, honestly, because he was asking me about my experience, like, how was it? When I rolled up in there, it was like a fucking daycare center for all the niggas I grew up with. That's not me helping, talking them out of this.
No, but it's being honest.
Yeah, and
it's
that's being what I honest. Was. And same cousin now is doing a bid that's probably 10, 15 now, but it's like, if any, they had people talk to me. I had mentors. I had probation officers. I had school counselors.
But like you said, if you want to receive the message.
But okay, you're giving me the message, right? Okay, I'm the little hood nigga, right? Mm-hmm. You giving me the message right now. Mm-hmm. You don't have to live like this. What other options do I have?
See, but here's for you, for the COs, for somebody who hadn't lived the life. That's always the thing that's in the back of my mind. How can you tell me about being better and doing better if you've never walked a mile in my shoes?
Right.
I have more respect for people who have walked a mile in my shoes and is now standing on top of the mountain saying, switch your shoes, put on some hiking boots and climb up so that you can be on the top of the mountain with me. So if you are somebody who's never lived in the hood, you are somebody who has never been to prison. I can't take you seriously when you tell me, okay, there's something better for you out there. Because my first question is, how do you know, right? Like, how do you know that there's something better than what I have right now? Have you ever been here and gotten out? So once again, if you receive the message, and I guess it depends on not only the message, the messenger as well, you know? So, but yeah, that whole, there are a lot of things that I wish I knew back then that I do know now that I think in life I would have made some different moves. So, yeah.
Becky, anything to add?
No, only that I agree that it with Anne about receiving messages and having, you know, mentors in your environment, because I know I would definitely be a different person if I didn't have some mentors at the right places and the right times in my life. Not to say that I would have, you know, led a life of crime, but you know, who knows what could have happened. So
right, you know, the whole 6 degrees of separation, they always say, you know, it's crazy because I look at people in circumstances and I'm always grateful. I'm always thankful because I think that could have been me had circumstances been different. You know, yesterday, as a matter of fact, I was out and about downtown and I saw this older couple. They had to be maybe between the ages of 55 and 65, something like that. But they had, it had to be everything they own in one of these shopping carts, you know, like a Walmart basket piled high. The lady was pulling the basket. The man was pushing it. They had, you know, a little radio tied to the side of the basket. They had a couple of pieces of luggage under the bottom. And a bunch of plastic garbage bags, like I said, in the inside piled high. And as I was looking at them, that's the thought that crossed my mind, you know, since we're talking about growing up in certain environments. And it was like, at any given point, had life been different, that could be me, you know? So, like I said, it's all about message and messenger. And when we talk about things that we wish people would have told us, in the end, in spite of it all, we still had people who cared enough about us to help us. You know, they may not have helped us the way we wanted them to, but nonetheless, they helped. They didn't necessarily keep us on the straight and narrow, but they got us to the point where we are now. You know, man, we didn't really do it by ourselves. So
I look at a lot of like I mentioned, my OG. Everybody has an OG in the hood. That's the older dude that you look up to that at some point even takes you under his wing.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, the nigga did not do right. He was not a good role model. But at that point in my life, that was the role model I needed. Because much like you said, he's older than me, a couple years older than me. He went through a lot of shit, so he was able, and he actually, some positive shit, right quick too. That homie, I remember I was probably about 16, 17 ish, and I was just getting into like dating for real, like real girlfriends and shit. So one of the things he taught me, look, when you go to pick her up or whatever, take her mother some flowers. So he's like, nah, for real.
It's strategy, son.
And I did it. And do you know, to this day, her mama still love me.
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
because it's a sign of respect, one. And two, it's, okay, well, maybe he not just some pissy ass little boy, whatever, whatever. I mean, it's all, it was a game, though. Right. It was strategy.
And he put me up on the game. Like, so, so there was like, just, you know, that came to mind, but little shit that wasn't street related, and that shit that I wouldn't have figured out on my own, like buying no bitch's mother. Like, this is me now. I ain't buying no bitch, no mother, no flout.
That is you now.
Amen. But at 17 years old, that shit, just that one act. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm good for life now. Mm-hmm. I could do no wrong. Mm-hmm. Your daughter come home with a black eye, missing teeth. That boy did not do this to you. Who hit you? Who hit you?
Right.
Look, I got a tooth missing over here.
Hey, you ain't on camera. But yeah, so anyway, that's, I guess, all I can, actually, I could keep going, but that's all that's coming to me now as far as things is, right. I wish, you know, again, being different, I wish I was told it was okay. I wish I was protected a little more. And again, it's just a lot. Like the job shit. That, and I see people now on the job that I work. I look at their job applications. I look at how they show up, like shower caps and house slippers.
That's the thing. When you look, we say it over and over again. It's that whole generational thing. I wasn't taught, so I can't teach you. You can't teach yours. They can't teach theirs. It's like this vicious cycle, and it continues on and on and around it. But all it takes is one person to break out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then, but once the thing is, once you break out and you learn to do better, you have to come back and tell other people, because they are going to respect what you say, because they know that you're from that same place.
See, but at this point, and I had this AJ, shout out to AJ. We had this conversation a couple years ago. He might not even remember it, when he was talking about how he likes to talk to the young ones. And I'm like, I don't tell them niggas shit, because at that age, you couldn't tell me. Because
they think they know everything.
Right. You couldn't tell me shit. And on top of that, it's like you got a nigga that's pushing 40 years old coming to talk to a 17-year-old. The age disparity right there, of course, now we know it's not that. But at 17, this old motherfucker don't know shit. Yeah, you might have ran the streets. That was the 90s when Wu-Tang Clan was young. Wu-Tang Clan old. And you saw Special Ed on the past the mic in his pajamas. And your boy Blackstreet looking like a damn Wall Street Bitcoin.
He was an accountant.
Man, so, I mean, if they ask or if I see it, especially when it comes to like family and stuff like that, yeah, I'm a kid game, but I'm not gonna just go walking through the hood and be like,
yeah, little man, boy, come here, let me talk to you.
Everybody gather around, y'all niggas hanging on this. I get my ass shot the fuck up. They'll be like, this nigga came from the hood, made it out, and died in the hood. Fuck that.
Or you called away from,
well, you know, I'm not saying like go take a walk down memory lane and get on your soapbox and start pontificating. All I'm saying is be a light, be an example, like shine the light.
I remember what it was that I wanted to say is, all right, like when I'm going back, because the camera started tripping, but going back to talking about my cousins and all them in the suburbs, mm-hmm. having all these extracurricular activities, right? So it's not enough just to come to the hood, especially for those of you who are not from the hood. It's not enough to come and just talk and say, look, you can do this. You being involved in extracurricular shit. Do you know how many hood niggas are in the NBA right now? Mm-hmm. Because they were on basketball teams, mm-hmm. and their parents forced that shit. It's like, yo, you're going to do something. You're not going to be out here on these streets.
Well, but then too, you know it as well as I do. everybody thought playing ball, football or basketball, was the way out.
Right.
So
it, and in a sense, it is for the time being, because while you're running around playing varsity or high school or even city league, whatever, AAU, while you are not on the streets. Mm-hmm. We had basketball and football, but outside of that, we didn't have anything to keep us off the streets. Mm-hmm. And I remember, like, when I started boxing, I remember seeing so many dudes that, again, these were street dudes. They would come into the boxing gyms almost every fucking day. And they were there for 3, 4, 5 hours a day, go home, go to school, come back. And it's like, that shit was just a way of life. They stayed off the street. So just having some sort of something to keep you busy, and you're also developing a skill. Now, of course, everyone thinks they're going to be the next Floyd Mayweather or the next NFL.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Nah, that might not be the case. But let them think that while they're going through the process.
Correct. Because that's motivation.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Whatever. My name is Dan. Keep up with me. Twitter, IG. I am Dan on drugs. A great motivational person. Guy on drugs, you know. Keep up with the show. All platforms at Black Law Podcast. YouTube as well.
Yeah, and I'm just Dan, and you can hit me up on Twitter at I Tell Legal Lies.
And this is Afro Becky. My taglines don't follow me,
aka Mortal Kombat.
And I'm signing off now.